You're listening to a podcast from the Sociological Review, the journal that's been making the sociological matter since before there was sociology. I'm Dr. Michaela Benson, the managing editor. Over its 110-year history, the Sociological Review has sought innovative ways of communicating the value of sociological understandings of the social world to draw attention to the critical and creative appeal of sociology. And it's very much in this vein that we're starting our new podcast series with the hope of engaging a broader audience in the sociological. And what better time and place to start podcasting than at our recent conference? Indeed, I took the opportunity to set up interviews with some of those participating in the conference with a view to kickstarting our adventure in podcasting. And over the coming weeks, you will hear more from me and from them. I've just walked over the bridge from the Baltic, but while I was in the Baltic after the last session, everyone was really buzzing about the Feminist Walk of Newcastle. I'm really excited that Maggie and Holly, who were leading that walk, are here with me right now, and we're going to have a little bit of a chat about the walk, but also about women's libraries, I think, is the topic of the day. I'm joined by Maggie O'Neill, who's a professor of sociology at the University of York and a member of our editorial board at the Sociological Review, and by Holly Argent, who's an artist based in Newcastle, who has a studio at Northern Charter and describes herself as a research-based artist. So, Holly, perhaps you could start by talking to us a bit about the Women Artists of the Northeast Library.
The Women Artists of the Northeast Library was a project started in October 2017, and it was initiated with another artist called Rennie McBrearty through the Graduate Bursary, which was the Northern Charter, which is where the library is currently based. They had a graduate bursary, which was like a call out for recent graduates to propose a sort of project that they wanted to do that related to their programme. So we applied with the idea of building a library based on women artists' work, and also as a way to test whether this was something which would work in an arts community in the Northeast. So we started with a call out for donations. So the library is something which is built purely on donations by women artists who associate themselves with the Northeast in some way. And it's also a way that we can host events and invite artists in to do workshops and talks. So that's how we've started, and that's how it exists at the moment.
Maggie, how have you been working with Holly?
So I was introduced to Holly through Dee Hedden, who's a woman artist who uses walking as part of her practice. And she's a member, I think she probably set up, or one of the women who set up the Walking Artists Network. I'm a member of the Walking Artists Network. And Dee invited me to be her librarian. So she was planning on doing a women artist walk in Newcastle with Holly and the library, and invited me to be her librarian. I'd approached her because I'd agreed to do a walk at the conference. So I'd approached Dee to say, it would be really lovely if you fancy doing it with me, you know, because I work collaboratively, kind of co-production, work mostly with artists. And so I said, it would be lovely if you wanted to do this walk with me for the Sociological Review. And she said, let me introduce you to Holly. So that was it, really. Met Holly, did this amazing walk with her and Dee. And then we planned this walk together. So a lot of research, you know, walked the route a few times. And then, of course, you know, the Sociological Review funded this fantastic map that Holly's colleague, Petra Sesman, has created, which is just a very beautiful graphic map for us and obviously for Sociological Review.
That sounds fantastic. It sounds really exciting. How would you explain the importance of the Women Artists of the Northeast Library? Why were you so excited by that project?
I think it was as a way of connecting women artists who are practicing now in the region, but also it's a way that practices can connect across different generations. So there's artists who have made an impact in the Northeast art scene who perhaps might not necessarily be in the Northeast anymore. They've perhaps moved away or they are no longer with us. So it's, I guess it's almost like, I think perhaps being in a situation after you sort of graduate, you're kind of looking for role models, or you're looking to see how artists have continued to practice regionally, but also how they've their practices spread across either the country or they're sort of international. So it was a way to sort of map that, I suppose, to kind of see those connections. And also we work on sort of like a nomination scheme. So some people have donated books, but then perhaps not everyone has sort of donations. So it's been a way that you can nominate a name and you can sort of add it to the library in that way. But also, I think the thing that I was really interested to do was lots of events and was to bring people into a space. So it's sort of, so we do kind of different projects. And hopefully it can also be a way then to make new work.
Mm-hmm. I think what's really exciting about the library is that it really highlights the transformative role and potential of art. And connecting back to Sociological Review in this conference, you know, doing sociology differently and that kind of collaborative, you know, integrating the arts and creative methods into sociological research and sociological understanding, I think is fantastic. And so for me, you know, doing this walk as part of the Sociological Review conference is really just pinning down those important aspects of doing sociology currently, you know, the different methodologies, arts-based methodologies. But I think the library, so it highlights the transformative role of art and possibilities, the importance of creativity, but also that interconnection between the arts and sociology, which is what we've done on the walk. You know, we've merged women artists with women's history, women's politics, to do a feminist walk of Newcastle and to raise awareness about feminist principles, feminist practice. But I think the kind of the exciting frisson and possibilities at the borders of sociology and the arts are materialised in our walk, I think.
It does sound very exciting, and I was very upset that there were so many things happening in that first session that I wanted to go to today, including your walk. So is there a possibility of people using this map and finding their own way around the city?
Yeah, definitely. That's almost the reason why we did the map, because it means that it can be something which can happen again, that the map sort of, it's got the different locations on it. So it's something which you could walk individually on your own, but also it means that we can do it again. And also at the end of the map, we asked for nominations of different locations, because I think some people on the walk perhaps know Newcastle better than myself. So I've only been here for 5 years, and then some people have lived here all their life. So it was great actually to have people pitch in throughout the walk with, I guess, their own sort of personal histories of the place.
Yeah.
But going back to what you said before, Maggie, it's been really great for me as well to work with yourself, because it made me think a lot about the locations that we were going, and to think spatially. Because I think sometimes I think about the arts places that exist within the city and how they've transformed, but they've also had previous lives to that. So it's been really great to sort of see those places differently, you walk past all the time. Newcastle's quite a small city, so you tend to walk up and down the same street. So that's been, it's been really great to think also like more architecturally about how that sort of affects where you walk.
And Newcastle is such a fantastic city. And one of the things that we sort of opened the walk with is just to say that the sort of those key themes in sociology for us as feminists, you know, well, actually for sociology more generally, you know, class, race, gender, sexualities, you know, they become materialised in the buildings, the spaces and places that we visit along the walk. And, you know, tapping into women's history from the 1600s and early women writers right through to current feminists, you know, Bev Skeggs, born in Middlesbrough, fabulous contribution, you know, Sue Scott, you know, another feminist who are practicing and who are from this area, as well as women politicians, of course, you know, not forgetting them. So it's that, you know, we interweave that kind of material reality, but also we invited women to make interventions at the Lytton Phil Library. And so one woman read a poem that she had created about Josephine Butler and her connection to the city. So she read that. And other women, we invited women to take a book from the library and really to just open the book at a place, at a random place, and then to share that outside the Lytton Phil. So we had a sort of mini intervention.
Felt great. Yeah. So it felt like the library was moving out of this sort of small corner where it's existed for a few months now in the Northern Charter to actually different people reading. It felt really like it was alive. It felt really good.
It was very participatory.
Yep.
As I would expect from you, Maggie. Just for people who are not familiar with the library scape of Newcastle, explain to me about the library that you were intervening in because you were taking the women artists of the Northeast Library out on the walk, but you were just describing these interventions in another library. Did I misunderstand that?
Oh, no, it's the Lytton Phil Library, which is a major landmark in Newcastle. I'm not sure of its when it originated, but I imagine it's probably Victorian library.
I was reading it was late 1700s, and then that's where I found out that it was previously, it was like a members club, and it still is. It's a society of people, and then it's become more, I don't know when it was open to the public, but it invited women to be members in 1804, so it was quite sort of early on in its life.
And the woman who intervened with her poem there was a working class woman whose dad was really keen to educate the family. So she describes him dragging them to the Lytton Phil, where they would take up a table and use the books. But it's a real significant place for her in terms of her own, I suppose, development of feminist politics and her own education and, you know, kind of reflections on class and, you know, women in Newcastle as a Newcastle-born woman and feminist.
I think one of the really exciting things that you are communicating through this conversation is not only that this was a feminist walk of the city, it was kind of about putting feminism and women back into the city and thinking about what that space has done to exclude women, perhaps, while also demonstrating these places where we might remember women again in a city that, you know, you've got that man on top of the monument. Well, yeah. I think he's called Grey, but that's all I know, for example. That's one of the things that stood out to me. And we don't see very many of the women of the city or in the city in that memorialization, in that kind of monumentalization, in the way that I think you're trying to encourage differently.
Absolutely, absolutely. And in fact, one of the walkers said that she went to school in Newcastle and she didn't have access to any of the sort of knowledge, information, places, spaces, buildings that we shared in terms of her own history of going to school, you know, in Newcastle. So absolutely, yeah, it was about putting women back into the city. And we put a flag up, and a feminist flag up in each of the places that we stopped to just locate and place feminism at that spot, yeah. From the suffragettes, you know, through to Amber Film.
I wonder if you could possibly reflect a little bit on how these efforts, like this wonderful map, your walk, the library that you've set up, how that kind of articulates with the broader politics of what's happening to libraries at this point in time?
That's a really good question. Just thinking about the use of libraries, you know, and the closures of many libraries and the sort of, I guess, the function of libraries, you know. I mean, you know that I worked a lot with asylum seekers, refugees and undocumented people, and libraries are really important because they're places where people can connect, where they can, you know, use the library, particularly if they're homeless or sleeping on people's floors or on church floors or whatever. So the libraries are a safe place, but it's also a place where they can just be. You know, and they don't have to explain why they're there. They can access the books, you know, that it can be really important for language. But it isn't just about the books. Libraries are much more about connecting community. They're community places now, I think. There's been a shift, and obviously because of the digital developments, then, you know, use of the web, using computers, you know, access to computers and keeping in touch with families. But I noticed that in Devon, instead of a decline of libraries, there's actually been this massive resurgence in libraries because they've been, I suppose they're being articulated as community spaces. So they're actually on the increase in Devon, which is quite incredible. That's an incredible intervention politically, isn't it? You know, to really sort of say libraries are important. We want them as community spaces. They're not just about books. Books are obviously really important, and access to books. I think, you know, many of us were certainly, you know, my education, you know, as a sort of working class child in Consett in the Northeast, the library was so important to me. You know, I kind of went through the books really quickly, and that it was a haven, you know, as well as being, I suppose, aspirational as well, you know. But I think the sort of, there are just multiple reasons why people use libraries and why they're important. So I think that really connects to the politics of today, you know, thinking about who uses libraries.
And why and how.
And why and how, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's partly the reason, because in some ways what we have is in our library is partly an archive, but actually rather than starting an archive, we did want to start a library because it builds a resource that's more usable and it can be more accessible. Mm. And I think going forward, the way that libraries or a public space is definitely something which, I guess, in a sort of pipe dream, the Women Artists of the North East Library will be a more accessible public space that's more of a working space as well. It's a place to connect people and a place to, like, invite people in to run workshops. And, yeah, that's why we sort of chose a sort of a library status, I suppose.
This might seem like a strange question and a strange time to bring it into the conversation. Is it a room in a building? Is it, because it's clear from what you've just said that it's not just online, for example, which of course it could be. You could have an online library, I suppose.
Yeah, we're definitely at the very, very start of it. So currently it exists as a corner of a project space in an artist studios. So the Northern Charter is primarily artist studios and it's artist run. And there's a project space in the middle, which everyone can use. But before we started the library, there was a corner of this project space, which ended up being something where people would dump old furniture, stuff they don't want in their studios. So what we did is cleared that corner out. And now what it is some very makeshift shelves, a sofa, some speakers, you know, like a sort of chest. So it's very... It looks quite DIY because it is quite DIY. But that's the way it exists at the moment. It's quite small. And in some ways, we're at a point where, because the Northern Charter is an artist studios, it's not fully accessible. So we're only open when we sort of do an event or at the weekends if we do something like an open library day. So that's how it is at the moment. But on this Friday, it's currently moved. So this Friday, it opens as a sort of evolving exhibition at Workplace Foundation, which is in Gateshead. So that's opening as part of this great exhibition of the North. So we've taken over their gallery space where the library is going to be situated, but there's also going to be a workspace and there's an evolving exhibition starting with four artists' work. And throughout the next 3 months, there's going to be a public programme. So it's going to hopefully expand a little bit, things that we've started to do can be more accessible. So it'd be a space that's open 6 days a week, which we're really excited to see actually how it works. And it's a resource, so it's hopefully going to be something which people can use and respond to.
It is fabulous, you know, having sort of been there for our previous walk and then this morning, although there's a reduced number of books there this morning. It is totally fantastic space. You know, it's a DIY space, but it's a really convivial space. It's really comfortable. So you can go and sort of sit in armchairs and browse the books, you know, look as well because they're sort of displayed. And then there's this amazing workspace too. So it is, I mean, I love the fact that it's multi-purpose, you know, that it's in that artist space as well. It's a really live space, just in terms of the kind of, you know, just thinking about how you might connect with it. So I would, you know, recommend everyone to connect with the exhibition and then go and see the library, at a later point. You know, it is brilliant. And I think we should, when we were just thinking about the libraries and women's libraries, you know, we discovered that there are documented 6 women's libraries apparently in the world, but actually they're all in Europe. So I think it's a Europe-wide documentation. So in Italy, Spain, France, London, Glasgow. And so there are 6, and we think there should be 7 on that map. So we want to put the Women Artists of the North East Library on that map of women's libraries. So we encourage everyone to join our campaign, which will start soon. Following this walk, just kind of getting people thinking about women's libraries and women spaces for women's literature, as well as their art, writing, poetry, sociology, you know, the production of knowledge in all its forms.
Well, you mentioned, yeah, Glasgow Women's Library and the Women's Art Library in London, and they're 2 spaces which definitely were a huge, like, inspiration, especially Glasgow Women's Library. I mean, what they are is their model of working as a, I think they've got archives now as well, is something which definitely is inspiration.
I think it goes back to what you were saying right at the beginning, Holly, about, you know, where can you find these role models and where and how can we make those feminist role models much more visible, either in the city and the libraries? And, you know, it might take that type of what shouldn't really be a radical intervention, because it should just be a everyday commonplace thing that we have these spaces where, you know, these women can be celebrated. But it is a radical intervention because we're so surrounded by the obfuscation of women, even in this day and age in the 21st century. Thank you both very, very much for coming in and talking to me.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's been great.
Thank you for listening to the Sociological Review podcasts. To find out more about us, check out our website, thesociologicalreview.com, or follow us on all major social media platforms. We'll be back again soon with another episode, but in the meantime, keep committing sociology.